Welcome to Cloud Tech Talks. We are back with Rohit Mishra, Head of Cloud FinOps, Avalog, to catch up on the hot topic, Capacity Intelligence. Welcome back, Rohit.
Hi, Zinduya. Happy to be back.
All right. So in the first half of our conversation, Rohit, you gave us a fantastic breakdown of Capacity Intelligence, establishing the what and why, defining the discipline, critical data needed to move beyond the reactive cost cutting. So now let's shift our focus to the how part, the operational challenges, the technology, and the future of this FinOps practice. So Rohit, capacity intelligence requires two key groups, right? So the FinOps team and the capacity engineering team, right? So while the FinOps team is focused on cost, the other one is focused on performance, as we all know. So what is the ideal operating model or the collaboration framework, do you think, for these two teams? So how do they share data and they can ensure the accountability?
I think that both the teams should really be part of the same loop. And I have also seen in some cases, both the groups are also part of the same team. Why I'm saying this is when you are talking about a capacity management team, they understand infra metrics and resource use very well. While when you're talking about the FinOps team, they understand the different cost context and they also understand the business input which is coming from the top management. So when if both these groups are part of the same team, they can set certain actionable items. Like so say if for the 2 weeks the CPU is at 30% while the business volume has gone down, that can be one of the action items to go and check if we can reduce the workload size. And both the sides should share these kind of common dashboards which indicate the resource use, which indicate the cost impact, and also some part of business KPIs. Because then if you go and take these kind of dashboards to operations team where you are showing, okay, these are my resources which are oversized, and at the same time this is the cost wastage which is happening, if you are going to give this kind of input to the ops team, then it is easier to get the action done. Because this is also which we see in most of the companies, right? That okay, you are sending your inputs to the ops team but they are not taking any action because maybe they don't have that full understanding of how much cost is being wasted. So if you are able to have FinOps as well as capacity team as part of this of the same group and both their inputs are part of the same dashboard, yeah, then this kind of shared visibility, it helps to achieve like meaningful financial outcomes as well, right? And this is what we are trying to achieve here. We are trying to achieve real cost control. So I do think that both these groups, they should be part of the same team.
So both the teams, for both the teams, it's a shared objective, right? So on the same dashboard, they should be getting it simultaneously for more efficient outcomes.
Yes.
Correct. So the classic tension in the cloud is this balancing of cloud cost efficiency and the performance reliability, isn't that right?
Yes. And, you know, this is where the SLO headroom concept comes in, you know. So this is what I always say to my team, that you don't just take a look at the average of the infra metrics. You should always take a look at the peak, or you can also take a like 95th percentile. So I will give you an example. So say, suppose if you have your batch job, during end of the day batch jobs, you would see that say your CPU is hitting 80%, which is only for a short time. It can be a couple of hours. But now, and for the entire day, it might be hitting only 30 to 40%. So okay, if you check see only the average CPU, you would find that it is only 40%. And then based on that, you don't want to go ahead and ask ops team to reduce the size, right? So because it is at the peak only for a short time, it is hitting 100%. So you do need to have that extra 20% to stay safe. So One more thing which we can do is that we can always test our workload on a smaller instance shapes in the non-prod before we push anything to production. So basically, it is about finding that sweet spot. What we are seeing as part of the FinOps team is we are not running after only the cost, but what we are saying, okay, there should not be any cost wastage. So we want the right cost, but at the same time, we also want our workloads to be highly efficient.
Got it. So yes, so when your intelligence model is suggesting a major downsize, it shouldn't be disturbing your performance, right? So the guardrail should be properly put in place so that you don't sacrifice the user experience for savings. Got it. You rightly pointed out finding the sweet spot makes this work. So drilling into the intelligence itself, Rohit, so you have mentioned AI as the major part. So how is AI/ML specifically being leveraged in the capacity intelligence today, particularly for predicting the future demand spikes or detecting the subtle anomalies?
Yeah, so I would say that the AI and ML, they are getting very good at finding out the patterns in whether it is infra data or even in the business volumes. What they are basically doing is that they are taking a look at your historical CPU storage, IOPS, they are matching it with your volume trends, and then they are giving a forecast when you need to add more resources. So say for example, the AI model can find out that, okay, at the end of every week, your traffic goes up by say 20%, and then they will make sure that you auto scale, right? But they are very good at these kind of short-term forecasting. But in real life, we still need people to validate big anomalies. So say if you are having a certain marketing campaign or if you are having an audit. In those cases, I would say that even though you have your AI and ML models, which are very efficient, but you still need humans to validate it. So more from a governance point of view. So if you have to put this in one line, I would say that, okay, the AI model, it gives you an indication, while if you have a FinOps team, it adds judgment on the top of it.
Right. So you brought an interesting perspective to the conversation. There's still being human in the loop. There's still something we need for review or for sign-off or to be confident about what's happening. So in that case, Rohit, so what's the current state of automation in capacity intelligence? How far do you think the automation should sit in the capacity intelligence and where the human in the loop is absolutely necessary? I've already covered that, but are there any other areas to be it covered?
Yeah, so absolutely. So see, automation as of now is used a lot in our models, and automation as of now is also doing wonderful in finding out the potential issues. But I would say it is still very early stage in terms of an absolute decision making, right? So say your tools or the automation which you have built, it can find out which are the idle VMs, which are the DBs which are not used that much, or if you have, say, underused savings plan or any other commitments which you have done. But what automation as of now doesn't fully understand is the dependency on the business context. And we have also seen that you have lots of applications in every company which are adjusted or they are customized for different customers, right? That is one part where I still feel you need to have, as you said, a human in loop model, because the automation, it will give you the opportunities, it will give you the indications, but you do need a team to validate different aspects of it, like it can be the timing. So it is more of a very healthy balance which we have, because see, the bots, they are surely making things more efficient, but we still need that little bit of governance also, which is coming from the actual teams.
Great. So I love the term that you have used. It's a healthy practice to have human in the loop for this to be even more efficient. So to wrap up, Rohit, so let's look at the horizon. Looking ahead 3 to 5 years, do you see capacity intelligence becoming a standard a non-negotiable FinOps practice adopted by the major enterprises, or do you think it will remain a more specialized or a niche capability for only the hyperscalers?
No, I think it's going to become absolutely mainstream, you know, because we are seeing that more and more companies and more workloads, they are moving from your data centers to cloud, right? And even though cloud is cheap, but it is cheap only if it is done in an accurate way, right? And we are seeing cases where the teams are very, very happy when they move to the cloud, but as long as they get the first bill. And when they get the first bill, and they are in for a shock because there are so many small costs which they didn't account for or didn't estimate for. And I'm so I see that as FinOps also goes ahead as it matures, just doing the cost optimization part is not going to be only thing, right? Because your management will want that the efficiency is also tied to the different business outcomes. It is not just only about reducing the cost. And when we're talking about capacity intelligence, it is at that meeting point, you know, meeting point of observability, FinOps, AIOps, and the teams are now seeing the actual benefits of it. In the long term, I do hope and I do expect that every FinOps team they will treat this capacity intelligence as a core to their work, and it is not just an optional nice to have thing.
It's going to be a standard
Yeah.
practice when FinOps is taken into consideration. All right, all right. So, Prohit, this brings us to the end of a very insightful discussion. So, if there is one key takeaway from today, listeners, it's this: stop reacting to your cloud bill, start predicting it. So, we have explored how AI makes forecasting reliable. Why you need to embed capacity planning before you deploy, and how the delicate balance between the cost and performance is managed through governance. So, Rohit, thank you for clarifying all of that for us. Would you like to say anything to our listeners about Cloud Tech Talks before we wind up?
No, yeah. So I would just want everyone to make sure that your teams understand the cost aspect very well because we are in this field, so we understand the cost part. And sometimes when we talk to different teams in our companies, we see that okay, they are not bothered about the cost aspect that much, and then we get bit we are even not happy about it because we are sending them the guidelines, we are sending them the inputs, and they are not acting on it. So I think if we take it upon us that, okay, we need to give them this context that everything which they are doing, every CPU or every GB of storage which they use in the cloud, there is a cost behind it. And we have to absolutely make sure that we don't do any wastage. Once we make sure that different teams also understand about the cost, yeah, then the FinOps is going to become absolutely mainstream.
That's a great point, Rohit. So it's not just a one-time practice or not, and it's not pertained to one particular team. It's a cultural practice, and it's a cultural shift that should happen in any enterprise for the entire process to give the maximum results, or leverage at the leveraged price on the resources or the leverage spent on the resources. So thank you for pointing that out. Thank you, listeners. Let's catch up soon with another essential cloud topic with another interesting guest. Till then, enjoy your cloud journey. And don't forget to follow our podcast on your favorite podcasting platforms for recent episode notifications. Thank you.